NFL season kicks off tonight. The Eagles launch their title defense. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And, you know, you want to give the proper respect to your Philadelphia Eagles, Pearl, but forgive me if this is not a little more interesting to me from the Cowboys side of things because of the big Micah Parsons trade that went down not 2 weeks ago. Are they actually going to be able to get a handle on Saquon Barkley? Because the whole deal about trading Micah Parsons was we got to stop the run. And I know it's for the future, maybe not for week one, but they did bring in Kenny Clark. They're talking him up really big. Defensive tackle for the Green Bay Packers. And so I think it matters tonight how this looks for the Dallas Cowboys against your Eagles.
I mean, listen, there's a scenario where Dak Prescott just goes off. What if George Pickens has two long touchdown passes, puts pressure, puts the Eagles in a position where they can't run the ball and Jalen Hurts has to throw? That's not where they want to be. So, and we've seen Dak just destroy the Eagles. He owns the Eagles. He's very good against them. So I don't think 8.5 kind of does feel right to me, but we forget that there have been surprising Cowboys teams in the past. Just hard to see it with Brian Schottenheimer. It's hard to see that 12-5 season coming. We didn't see it when Mike McCarthy came in, but this going to a continuation of the previous coaching regime, Schottenheimer was there. Just a radical new Cowboys really is hard for me to imagine. Can you see it at all?
I hate to do the participation trophy thing. We're talking about professional athletes and grown men, but I do think it matters how it looks. Like, if Dak has this really big game, I think the Cowboy fans can feel better. Like, all right, it does maybe feel a little bit, I can't say clean slate because Dak's been there forever, but it does feel a little like they have turned the page. Maybe somehow Jerry was right. Maybe this is exactly what the team needed, because let's not forget, they talked about stopping the run, and we all know that's true, but they also started talking about the locker room and about Micah Parsons being a distraction and about, you know, his personality and the podcast and all that ancillary stuff. How does that actually impact, if at all, this team? And we'll never know because we're not in the locker room, but if they can beat the Eagles tonight or if it looks really good, say this is a one-score game in the fourth quarter, maybe you can squint and say, all right, the Cowboys have come together. They've gelled maybe through this, and they found an identity.
Okay. That sounds. I mean, let's face it. Can they stop the run? Can they run the ball? And I don't know if that has to do with locker room character. I mean, honestly, the way that Micah Parsons is being painted is Dak Prescott is someone that everybody loves. Has Dak Prescott proved himself to be a leader when the chips are down?
No, and that's why a lot of people think he'll never win a Super Bowl.
Right, and now, but he's the good guy, and Micah Parsons was the bad guy. So I just think you can spin the locker room narrative any way you want. Comes down to, can they stop the run, and can they run the ball?
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Does this matter how it looks tonight for the Dallas Cowboys? I think for the Eagles, you know, it's going to be hard to repeat. I think the biggest thing standing in their way is themselves. Not that they're going to be so high on themselves that they, you know, think that all of a sudden the Super Bowl is a given. What I'm talking about is dealing with adversity. I always thought this team was kind of teetering. I don't trust the Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni relationship. Nick Sirianni now is offensive coordinator. Kellen Moore has gone to the New Orleans Saints. We know he's a coach that heavily relies on the coordinators because he doesn't call plays, right? And he's more of the vibes guy. Mm-hmm. That's gone sideways in the past for the Eagles when you've had to replenish those coordinators. Now, you still have Vic Fangio on the defense, so that's a good sign.
They did a terrible job replacing the coordinators last time. But for me, the way bigger concern is health. You know, Landon Dickerson was hurt in the preseason. He will play their left guard. Lane Johnson is getting old up there. When Lane Johnson gets hurt, he's like TJ Watt is to the Steelers. The Eagles just cannot win without him. But he's 35. So the O-line is obviously the secret sauce to this offense. You might have multiple Pro Bowlers. You might have multiple Hall of Famers. So if you get a couple injuries on that O-line, that is my biggest concern. Also, the secondary is thin. I'm a little worried about this. We'll see. You know, in today's day and age, you need a lot of cornerbacks. You need to go nickel and dime. That worries me too. you know, but health is number one. This locker room stuff, if everybody's healthy, they're going to win enough games where when they're winning, they can get along. That's all I will say.
Okay. One other question about the Eagles, and we're going to turn our attention to our King of the Mountain, which is our year-long search for the greatest NFL team of all time, the greatest individual season of all time. The NFL wants to ban the tush push. Now, they did not get the votes necessary this offseason, Pearl. Is there a thought that maybe there's a little extra pressure on the Philadelphia Eagles to win another Super Bowl while you still have that magical play that you run better than every other team in the league?
Do you know what percentage typical quarterback sneaks convert on? It's like in the high 80s. Do you know what the tush push is? In the low 90s.
Boo.
So, just quarterback sneak. Who cares? Listen, we don't even need the tush push. It's a quarterback sneak.
It's a game that's one on the margins.
You know? A game is one. It's Jalen Hurts. He could get a quarterback. Tom Brady got every single quarterback sneak since the beginning of time. It is the most one of the more overrated things. If they banned it, then I think the Eagles would just quarterback sneak. Like Tom Brady. You how many times you see Brady get stuffed?
It feels like never. I don't remember a time. I don't remember specifically, you know, if there's ever a moment when he was going for this, you know, massive fourth down and fourth and one, and he got stopped. It's not in my recollection, but I don't know. I mean,
well, did you worry about the tush push when Jason Kelce retired? Probably, and guess what? Didn't even matter.
I said at that point, Cam Jurgens was the most important non-quarterback in the NFL, and I was laughed out of the room, but I think it was important because he was now snapping the ball to Jalen Hurts.
I just think that the actual impact might be overrated. Maybe it gives him a confidence. Maybe that's what we're talking about. But listen, they won the Super Bowl in 17, and they didn't know how to tush push then.
Fair point. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, the question, does the game have to look a certain way for Dallas tonight to avoid all-out panic with that franchise? I'm going to say that's a big old yes. All right, excited about this, guys. Maggie and Perloff's King of the Mountain.
Who is the King of the Mountain? Maggie and Perloff search for the greatest NFL team of all time.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do this every Thursday. And we have a randomizer, basically. We came up with the 25 teams, a pool of 25 teams, and we put them into... EJ, explain the randomizer.
Yeah, so it's basically a pseudo kind of Wheel of Fortune, a virtual wheel that spins on my computer. It has all 25 teams that we picked, and it spits out whatever team comes up. So the first two teams we did, we spun the wheel yesterday. We came up with these great squads.
Now, people are going to think that we're lying and that we just actually put these two up against each other. I promise you, hand to the Lord, this was a randomizer from the computer. Here are your first two teams going head-to-head. The 1998 Minnesota Vikings.
That team was a very special team. Just so laden with talent. You had Hall of Famers on it. Chris Carter.
What a catch by Carter!
Randy Moss.
We've got a star on our hands in the NFL, Randy Moss.
We had an answer offensively for whatever you wanted to do defensively.
And it's almost like the Cowboys defense can't defense them.
Just a magnificent performance by this Minnesota offensive machine.
I'd never seen anything like that.
Touchdown!
It was like cartoonish. I think we were averaging like 40 points a game.
Yeah, that Vikings team actually never scored less than, I believe it was 24 points in a game. That was the lowest total that they had. So that was Brian Billick, you heard, the offensive coordinator for the Vikings in 98, and comedian Nick Swartzen talking about the Vikings.
I like Nick Swartzen.
Nick Swartzen, Adam Sandler movie guy.
Yeah.
He's in every Adam Sandler movie.
The 1998 Minnesota Vikings, which we will go through in more depth, they go up against, man, this is a doozy right out of the gate, the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins.
Aww.
As the triumphant Miami Dolphins returned from Super Bowl VII, a throng of thousands gave a winner's welcome to the team, Coach Don Shula, and owner Joe Robbins.
This is the Vince Lombardi Trophy for the winner of the Super Bowl.
7 years since Joe Robby was granted a franchise in the old AFL, Miami not only won the Super Bowl, but had gone an entire season undefeated. A feat no other NFL team in history has accomplished. It is unlikely ever to happen again.
All right. EJ, put the poll up. 1998 Minnesota Vikings versus the 72 Dolphins.
The Dolphins you gave Facenda. I mean, that's a cheat code right there. The voice of NFL films. So cool.
You know, crazy to go back through some of these seasons, right? So the 72 Dolphins, obviously 14-0 in the regular season, then 17-0 to end the year. Don Shula in his third season, still the only perfect season ever, obviously.
Yep.
He had Bob Greasy, a quarterback, broke his ankle in week 5. Mm. Earl Morrill took over, started the rest of the season. He was 38 at the time. That was Bob Greasy, too. Pearl, do you remember who broke his ankle?
I have no idea.
Broke his ankle on a sack. Week 5 against the Chargers. Deacon Jones broke his ankle. Greasy came back in the second half of the AFC Championship game, and then obviously started the Super Bowl as well. They had to go on the road in that AFC Championship game to play in Pittsburgh because the way that the playoffs were formatted, even though they were undefeated, they did not get home field advantage throughout.
Yeah, that is weird.
It is crazy.
That's a year. Is that the year of the Immaculate Reception? That is, right?
Larry Zonka, yeah. Mercury Morris, the first two teammates to both rush for 1,000 yards each.
Yeah.
The no-name defense led by Nick Bonacani, who I just named a name. But
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, I spent with my previous career, when I was with the NFL, I spent a day with Jim Kick, who was the third running back in that triumvirate. And we did this big event outside the stadium in Davies. And just the pride of that team, too. Here's the thing about that team. They would run it down your throat. All they cared about was running.
Yep.
It didn't even matter when Earl Morrill came in, who had his own accomplishments as an NFL quarterback, but it's irrelevant. That's why, you know, I don't know if we're giving away our votes, but it's hard to imagine slowing down that run attack because it's an all-timer. Zonka was a machine. Mercury Morris was impossible. He was like a little joystick guy. And then Jim Kick was the special sauce and the personality of the team. He was amazing. So it was really a perfect team.
And a team that still pops champagne every time the last undefeated team goes down.
Yeah.
So you got to love the pettiness there. Not petty. It's like keeping alive the memory of that team. Okay, so they go up against the 1998 Vikings. This is the Maggie and Perloff King of the Mountain. Yes.
Which is my favorite. That's my favorite team of all time, too.
Because of Randall Cunningham?
Randall Cunningham, my guy, former Eagles quarterback. You have no idea how out of nowhere that season came for Randall. I mean, I know you know, but it was not expected. Got rode out of town. Nobody respected him as a quarterback. Everyone thought he was just a runner, and then bombs away in Minnesota.
Bombs away is right. They had 52 plays of 25 or more yards that season, the 98 Vikings. They had 22 plays of 40-plus yards. That's crazy. They scored 556 points in that season, which was a record, and the defense was great, too. Top six defense led by John Randall, obviously the Hall of Famer. Now, if you're a Viking fan, close your ears on this one because you know what happened. You're upset by the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC Championship game. Final score 30-27. How it went down, of course, is Gary Anderson. Legendary because he did not miss a field goal or a PAT all season long. He was 35 for 35 all year. What happens? 2 minutes left, basically, in the NFC Championship game. They can take a 10-point lead. He misses a 39-yard field goal. Atlanta goes down, ties the game up, goes to overtime. Minnesota wins the coin toss. Did not score on the first two possessions that they had in OT. The Atlanta Falcons end up scoring. It was sudden death, and they go on to the Super Bowl. Crazy that that's how that season ended, considering the Hall of Famers on that team, how innovative the upset, offense was, how explosive it was. Denny Green was in his seventh season as the Vikings head coach at the time. It's an all-time team, but with a heartbreaking ending.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was innovative as much as Randy. You just outrun everybody, and we're going to throw
explosive,
it along to you.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was like nothing you'd ever seen. To me, the two most exciting players of that era were Deion Sanders on defense and Randy Moss on offense. Because you know how some players just move differently? Randy was completely different. It was an incredible thing. That's why this is such a funny matchup to start with. You have the grinded out running Dolphins against one of the most explosive teams on this list in Minnesota. But although Minnesota had a great running back, too, and Robert Smith, yep. our buddy, who's one of the coolest people ever, he would get you, too. I don't know how to vote. I wanted to advance in 98 Vikings, but, oh, man, this is tough, Meg.
You got to give it to the 72 Dolphins. I'm not trying to sway the vote. This is for you, America and Canada. You can vote on this at Maggie and Pearl. I would give my vote to the Dolphins. Now, can I give the little negatives that each of these teams have in common, actually? And I don't know if we're going to see this a little more as we go on and trying to find the greatest NFL team of all time. Both of these teams had easy schedules. And listen, to be a great team, it's not taking away. Like, sometimes your opponent has to play a role. If you're talking about the Vikings, only three teams they faced that season finished with a winning record. For the 72 Dolphins, none of their regular season opponents made the playoffs that year, and only two had winning records. But where I'll give it to the Dolphins, they had to go on the road in that AFC Championship mm-hmm. game despite being undefeated to play in Pittsburgh. I mean,
that team lost like five games in 5 years. I don't know.
They
if it
won
matters.
Back-to-back Super Bowls. I know.
Yeah,
but
I don't
doing
know
individual
who matters
seasons
who
they're
playing.
Here. We're doing individual seasons.
Yeah,
here.
No, I'm just saying, like, that wasn't an anomaly just because they had an easy schedule. Like, their team was awesome the year before and awesome the team after. That was, to me, I'm not buying that function of schedule. It does make sense. I mean, the numbers don't lie, but that team was still totally legit. That 98 Vikings, I can buy that a little more, to be
Who
honest.
Who you go with? What is the better team, the 98 Vikings or 72 Dolphins?
I'm definitely going with the 72 Dolphins. I'm voting on the poll at Maggie and Pearl. I'd tell you one thing, and this maybe, EJ, you can weigh in on this. If you're actually looking, if you put the two teams on the same field, of course, the 98 Vikings, because linemen back in 1972 weighed 260 pounds.
Right.
The whole league exploded physically in the late 80s, or actually in the 80s. So it was a different sport. And also, too, there were passing ideas that were not around in 1972. Bob Greasy's a Hall of Famer whose numbers look like he'd be a journeyman at this point.
No,
so,
Earl Morrill was like 5 for 14, like many of these games. It was not about the passing attack. But I think, you know, just comparing them to teams of their own era.
Yeah, I think you have to do that. Otherwise, you're not going to have any teams from... I don't know what the cutoff line may. You know what? The 70 Steelers, if they put on a little more weight, could probably be. But just guys got bigger. Remember the Hogs? You guys probably don't. The Washington, then Redskins. They were all like, this is the most dominant offensive line ever. They're all like, this guy is 294 pounds. Can you believe? They even have a 300-pounder. Now you go to like a elite high school and everybody's 320.
Yeah, I know. 888-710-4ISN. Maggie and Perloff, King of the Mountain. Every Thursday at this time, we're going to put two teams up against each other. So the 98 Vikings are now head-to-head with the 72 Dolphins. So the Chris Carter, Randy Moss, Randall Cunningham Vikings up against the undefeated perfect season of the 72 Dolphins. It's up at Maggie and Pearl right now. You can go vote. And then whoever wins, we will put them up against a new team next week. So it's literally King of the Mountain. If you win, you get to stay. So we'll see if maybe the Miami Dolphins do another run the table this season.
Wow, wire to wire.
Okay, wait, can I tell you the fun facts that I found out about these two teams after the break?
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
That was convincing.
I don't think you want to know my fun facts that I found doing research in both of these teams yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, we can't wait, Maggie.
Wait, I don't want to be the naysayer here.
I want to know.
My fun facts?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're fun. Very fun.
No?
Can't wait for those.
All right.
But I don't know if it's like in the spirit of what we're doing here. We're talking about football, like bang, you know, and then boom and all that stuff. I don't want to hear like, a footnotes and like citations.
You don't know what the price of milk was back in 1972?
Yeah. I don't know what kind of details you're going to get into, but now I need to know.
All right, I got fun facts about the 98 Vikings and the 72 Dolphins right after this, and you can vote 888-710-4ISN. Which team deserves to be the King of the Mountain? Now I'm going to be Maggie Football here. Pearl, we love this. Prize Picks, our obsession. When I tell you that nobody was more locked into the WNBA last night than me, I don't even think some of the players on the court were as locked in as I was. because absolutely love what I can do on Prize Picks, which is so easy. You just take two or more players across any sport. So it could be WNBA, put that together with Major League Baseball. You pick more or less on their projections. And if you're right, you can win big. It's simple stats. It's user-friendly policies. And Prize Picks is the most fan-friendly app to make all your picks. It goes without saying, all the picks are fast, they're safe, they're secure. This is what Pearl and I are going to be doing all season long, which is competing on Prize Picks.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fall. It's the best time of year because you have all these sports going, and that is so perfect for Prize Picks. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP to get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 bonus credit in lineups for just playing. Guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. Our King of the Mountain NFL contest, I guess we could call it contest, has begun. Every week, we are going to pit two great teams together. Whoever wins moves on to the next week and faces the next challenger. We use a randomizer. We pick the 25 best teams of all time, and then we randomize it. This week, it started out with the 98 Vikings, Randy Moss's rookie year, against the undefeated 72 Dolphins. Tough matchup for Randy Moss and gang. So you could go to Maggie and Pearl and vote. Now, Maggie, you promised us some fun facts about both these teams. I can't wait.
Are you sure? No. I was doing some research, obviously, about the 98 Vikings and about the 72 Dolphins last night, and I came across some stuff I thought you guys might find interesting.
Please.
You ready?
I'll
start with the 72 Dolphins, Pearl. Did you know that according to my research, fans in Miami could not watch any of the games of the 72 Dolphins because of the blackout rules that existed, even though the games were sold out? Peter Schwartz, you're here. You're nodding your head.
Yeah. Back then, you couldn't watch your team at home.
But with the road games, they could watch.
Apparently it was Richard Nixon and his staff who in the White House were upset they couldn't watch the Washington team, the local team, and that led to some of these restrictions getting lifted.
Yeah, games that were sold out didn't matter. They wanted to protect the gate, make sure that people went to the games.
So those are the Reaganomics that I've always heard about?
Something like that.
Ah, okay.
So, 72 Dolphins, none of the people in South Florida could watch the home games on TV. So I thought that was interesting. And then for the Vikings, I did not realize that the Vikings were sold right before the 1998 season to a guy named Red McCombs. That's not important. Do you know who was at one point the front runner to buy the team in 1998? Before the 98 season.
Well, I'm going to guess best of the question that it's the current president of the United States or?
Nope.
Can I guess?
Vince McMahon.
Jerry Jones?
Prince.
No.
Oh, Jerry already owned his team.
You guys are way off.
Well, you set it up like it was going to be Trump.
No. Oh, I did? No.
I'd be like, okay, who could it be?
Tom Clancy, the author of all those spy novels. He was in line to own the
Of course.
Tom Clancy?
What are you talking about?
Tom Clancy, Clear and Present Danger.
I haven't thought of that name in like a decade. My God.
Yeah, I know.
I don't
those
even
books
I don't
Harrison
believe it.
A lot of money.
I'm going to call. I'm going to call it.
I got a second source.
He did not get a second source.
I did. He was in line to buy the 1998 Vikings. It fell through. And apparently 10 people, there were 10 owners of the Vikings, and they wanted to centralize it.
Somebody get Pablo Torre on it.
I don't believe this.
You don't need Pablo. You got Google.
No, I mean, I believe you, but I still don't believe it. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, Tom Clancy never emerged as a possibility for any other team.
It was like a one and done situation, I guess. He almost bought the team. Mr.
Right.
Clear and Present Danger himself and all those other books.
So is
Jack Ryan books.
All right.
And movies.
And then Red McCombs bought it, and then he sold to Ziggy Wilf for, what, like 2012 or something?
Yep. So there you go.
Wait, that's it? No, I thought you were going to get a gallon of gas. How much was a quart of milk? All that good stuff. I thought he was serious for a second. I'm a little disappointed now.
These are my fun facts. You gave you Tom Clancy. I gave you that nobody in South Florida could watch the Dolphins.
Didn't fulfill me.
And now you can watch games in your local market, even if the game is not sold out. I think it only has to be like, is it 75% filled up?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because I think they changed it a few years ago because a lot of teams were having trouble selling out. And I think they
removed the blackout rules in like 2015.
No, but I think there is a percentage of the stadium that has to get sold. I think they changed that rule a few years ago where you don't have to sell out the entire stadium. It's just a certain percentage of it.
That's so funny. I can't even imagine a game getting blacked out.
Oh, I remember in college very clearly. I was so happy because I went to college in Washington, D.C., and it happened to be one of those years where the Bills were playing the Baltimore Ravens. And I was like, finally, I can just sit on my couch and watch this game. I don't have to go to a sports bar.
Did you go to school in 2023? When did you go to school?
This was like 2004.
Oh.
And I sat down to watch it, and it was blacked out.
Go Bills.
They weren't exactly selling out. It was not exactly the Bills-Ravens matchup that we're going to see Sunday
night.
You
in D.C. and the Baltimore game was blacked out. In D.C.?
Yes.
That's weird. It's not the same city.
Brutal. Same, like, general area, though.
Oh, my God.
Same viewing area. Yeah.
Were the Redskins on at the same time? And that's why you could.
Must have been. Yeah. But it was also just not the hype and the fanfare that the Bills-Ravens of Sunday night's going to bring with a potential AFC championship preview.
0-4 Bills. Who's the quarterback?
Oh, it was awful. I don't even remember. I had him.
J.P. Lossman.
That's a good 2004. Guess.
2004. Flutie?
Trent Edwards.
It might have been.
Right. When was the Music City Miracle? 2000?
Yeah, that's 2000. Flutie was gone.
Yeah.
It might have been Trent. I mean, this could have been a Dick Geron season. I got to go back.
And then.
These are all very forgettable.
Because they were blacked out. You didn't know what the heck was happening.
2004?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Drew Bledsoe.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't too bad. You guys were 9-7.
Former Patriots quarterback?
Yes. And then Dallas quarterback, too.
Getting Drew Bledsoe on the Bills was one of the more depressing.
Oh, it's so exciting when it happened.
It was not really.
Are you kidding me? I remember that preseason hype.
Was he on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Oh, that was huge.
I have a confession. For about $20, my sophomore year of college, I bought a Bills Drew Bledsoe jersey. Nice. I have no idea where it is.
Oh, that'd
be
worth.
Cool now.
It was the white one with like the navy blue and the red on it. Yeah. You remember that era of the Bills? Oh, God, what an awful jersey combination.
Why was that depressing? He was still good.
There's something I think that's always a little bit depressing about your division rival, you getting like their sloppy seconds or their leftovers. It's like they said goodbye to him, so we'll take them. It's like Adam Gase coaching the Jets or when Donovan McNabb went to Washington. Yeah. It's like, it's just not as fun.
Yeah. I welcomed Wade Boggs and Roger Clemens to the Yankees with open arms.
Yeah, counterpoint, Brett Favre to Minnesota.
Mm. Eventually.
That worked, but yeah. No, but I think those guys were a little younger. But Bledsoe was in his prime. That's different.
But he was coming off, obviously, this devastating injury. We almost died.
Ah, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, that little thing.
Blame the Jets once again.
Let's little Mo Lewis hit.
Let's get to Peter Schwartz. So anyway, you can go vote right now. Maggie and Perloff, King of the Mountain, the 1998 Vikings up against the 1972 Dolphins. Which was the better team? And whoever wins, they will remain King of the Mountain, and we'll put them up against another great team next week.
Yeah, and again, it's random, so we're not designing these because I'm not sure this is the first matchup we would have come up with. It couldn't have two more opposite teams.
Probably not. Peter, what do you got?
The Philadelphia Eagles set to unveil their Super Bowl banner tonight as the NFL season kicks off in Philadelphia with the Eagles hosting the Cowboys. Quarterback Jalen Hurts looking forward to working with some of the new players on the team.
It takes the togetherness and it takes the kind of evolution of just learning from everything that we go through as a team, and so that's the exciting part about embarking on a new journey is it's a new group, and it'll be a new iteration of what this team is.
And the Eagles taking on their rival, the Cowboys, and Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer hoping his team doesn't tense up tonight.
What I don't want these guys to do, and I think the coaches are a big part of this, is go in there and try so hard. Oh, we're playing the Eagles. I'm going to do so hard. They're going to make mistakes if they do that. Play free. It's football. Fly around. Love being around with your brothers, man. Just run to the football. Celebrate. Have fun.
Man,
that sounded weird.
There's
that
only
really
two
did.
Ways this is going to go with Schottenheimer. Either the next dynasty or he's out in 11 games.
I love that quote. go get them. It's the Eagles. Let's do this. Like,
no, he said, don't do that. The quote was, don't do that.
Nah, but it was kind of cute. It was like he was talking to his kids.
He sounded like somebody who was mocking what a head coach would say in the press conference. Mm. He actually, like, if we were to say, oh, you know, he said, you know, play tough and don't, like, we would say, but to hear the coach actually talk like that was a little weird.
He's saying play loose.
Yeah.
Schottenheimer's a pretty normal of guy. I don't know. You're painting him as some, like, wild card guy. I mean,
I just think there's a lot of boom or bust potential with this. Because, first of all, is there a reason that he's been assistant for 30 years and never got a head coaching job?
Yeah, because he's kind of average as an offensive coordinator. That's the thing. I think, like, with Brian Schottenheimer, you're kind of going right down the middle. It's kind of a safe pick. Yeah, it probably won't work, but it's not going to be a spectacular flame out where he's going to be a wild man.
No, not a wild man, but, like, can you imagine in the amount of nepotism that happens in the NFL that his dad is Marty Schottenheimer and couldn't get a head coaching job? I just figured the last name alone would have given him an opportunity years ago.
But it's not like he was on, like, how many? He wasn't an assistant on any Super Bowl teams. I mean, yeah, was he assistant on a Super Bowl? He was on some good Jets teams.
He's been on some really good teams.
Oh, yeah, Seahawks.
Was he the Seahawks? But I don't think he was a coordinator. Was he coordinator in 2013?
That I don't know.
Anyway,
he was much later to that party, I think.
I don't think this feels like it might go one of two ways.
Ooh. Well, really? I feel
really
like it
good
might,
or...
I feel like most people think it's going to go one of one ways.
Mid?
The toilet.
Mid to worse.
God, I hope so.
Like, is there anybody who thinks this is going to be Jimmy Johnson 2.0? I'd like to meet that person.
Jerry Jones.
I don't even think Jerry thinks that.
He literally said Herschel Walker.
Yeah, so
he did.
Yeah, good point.
We didn't do baseball in the first 2 hours. Let's get to some baseball now, and we'll start in Chicago.
This might be another homer. Ozzie Albies, deep to left, and it's gone. His second of the series. He is swinging a hot bat right now.
Ben Ingram, the call on Braves Radio. The Braves beat the Cubs 5-1. Now to Tampa Bay.
Swing, line drive, base hit center field. Here comes Caminero to score. Right behind him, Josh Lowe, and he's in also to third. Mangum, Fiducia makes it a snowman. 8-0 Rays in the second inning.
Andy Fried had the call on Rays Radio, and the Rays beat the Mariners 9-4. The Astros beat the Yankees 8-7. The home plate umpire missed 21 calls.
Yeah, he did.
According to a statistical service, 15 of them went against the Yankees in that game, including a called third strike on Jazz Chisholm to end the game that was about 2 feet outside.
Yeah. Yeah. If I say anything, I might get suspended if I say anything. So
go ahead.
Give
it a shot.
No, no comment.
Come on.
This is why they should maybe go automated so you don't have this kind of criticism.
I thought you were going to say Manny should be automated so he doesn't say anything and get suspended.
We have a sensor button right on Manny. You're the one who's actually in charge of the sensor button, so you'd have to be in charge of yourself.
The guy was brutal last night. Let's be honest. It was 21 missed calls. There were probably more than that. The NBA is reportedly changing the format of the All-Star game. The new format likely to have two United States teams and one world team playing in a round-robin tournament. The 2026 All-Star Game will take place February 15th at the Intuit Dome, the home of the Clippers.
Oh.
And the game will shift from the Sunday night format to Sunday afternoon. So you can watch a horrible All-Star Game earlier in the day.
Yeah, no, this is going to work. This is definitely going to work. No.
I'm very confused by this. They're playing three 12-minute games?
Yeah, they do that. They're like stealing a little bit from the NHL, doing like, you know, three different games in a format, and
they're still doing that.
I don't mind the games. I'm just, how many? They're doing this all in one day.
Yeah,
in one day.
How are you going to play four quarters? Games.
No,
they're not full games, right?
They're not full game. They're 12 minute games.
Oh, I thought they were 12 minute quarters.
So you're gonna have 12 minute games, then you're gonna have a championship.
Oh, I thought it was 12 minute.
Like the NHL was the All-Star game, but
that makes sense now. I read this headline and story like 8 times, and I'm like, I know I'm reading this wrong, but I don't know what I'm getting wrong. They should have changed the minutes. Because, like, now I'm thinking 12 minutes, that's an NBA quarter. So I just assumed they were going to play 12-minute games, like 12-minute per quarter. So I was like, are they going to play three games in 3 days? Like, how are they going to do this?
Guys would be dead.
Right, exactly.
The NBA players barely play to begin with.
They don't want to give any effort. Now they're going to give them the most effort? I was confused.
They'll play a 12-minute game, then they'll bring out a musical act you've never heard of before, then they'll play another 12-minute game, and then another musical act.
Well, it's going to be a musical act everybody else in the world has heard of, just not Peter Schwartz.
Yeah. Right. It's going to be brutal.
You ever heard of the Chaperon Trap?
But does the NBA deserve criticism for how many changes they've made over the last 10 years? Remember the Elam ending and like...
I don't know why. They should have stayed with that. I thought they went away from that too quickly.
But they're just throwing everything at the wall. Like at a certain point... I mean,
it's an all-star game. Like, why? I don't understand why people just don't want to understand. It's an all-star game. It's not a real game in any of the sports. So just, I have no problem with National League versus American League, you know, NFC versus AFC, Eastern Conference versus Western Conference. It is what it is. It's an all-star game. Why are we trying to fix something that does need to be fixed?
Well, that kind of ingenuity, Peter, it's going to take you right to the top. No, yeah, everyone's, everyone's trying to find an edge and angle to make it more interesting. People stopped watching. That's why they're changing around.
Then don't have it at all. Just say, these would have been the guys who played in the all-star game, and that's it.
Peter, you're a former GM of a football team. You want to throw money away? Like, no, get rid of the all-star game, you're getting rid of an opportunity.
Pending litigation. On that, but anyway,
it's okay. Not litigation against you.
Maybe I'm just old school, but like you know, it's National League versus American League. It's NFC. I don't know why it needs to get changed. It is what it is, and there's nothing in my mind you could do to change the format to get away from the fact that it's an all-star game. It's an exhibition.
But people did like watching the guys play somewhat competitively, and they haven't. So they're. It's not like this is, it's always been this much of a joke. It was not. Like, I've watched All-Star games in the 80s and 90s and 2000. Mm. It wasn't this bad. There's no entertainment value in watching them go up and down and just give zero effort. So why they're making the changes.
The Four Nations Cup took off like gangbusters with hockey because the guys actually gave a crap.
But you can't possibly do that every single year because it's too much.
We're not going back to that, Peter?
No, I don't. This year, I don't think there's going to be an All-Star game.
Yeah, we got the Olympics this year, right?
They're going to have some sort of Olympic send-off at UBS Arena in place of what was supposed to be the All-Star game.
Oh, yeah?
And then the All-Star game will be there next year.
Yeah, they got screwed out of that.
Wake us up for that one.
But you brought up an interesting point, Peter. If they got rid of, say, the Pro Bowl, like, how would you know who were Pro Bowlers? Like, you have to actually have... You can't just say this guy was a fictitious Pro Bowler.
Well, you can, because now they do... Just, capture the flag and the Mannings out there. Basically, you have to like do a potato sack.
I get it. Wait, this is gonna sound. They don't do a game anymore. I didn't even pay attention.
Flag football.
And they do it's flag, isn't
it's
flag, it?
No, yeah, but it's part of a whole like week long thing. Like they do these games during the week, and then it culminates in. Like
full, everybody plays in a flag football game.
Yeah, they all. Well, you not still though, not the players that are either pulled out or are playing in the Super Bowl.
The O linemen don't even step on the field.
No, I don't think they do.
Well, they have different events for them, but they do play on the. Yeah, they do play. The offensive linemen play.
I think full 12, 11 on 11 flag football game.
No, it's 8 on 8.
Yeah.
I think it's 8 on 8.
Right, so it's not all of them.
I think there's like two or three. There's at least one offensive lineman who snaps the ball.
Shows how much attention we've been paying.
Maybe
but that was the worst All-Star game. The Pro Bowl was terrible because nobody was doing anything in the Pro Bowl.
No, it's just the guys wanted to go to Hawaii.
We had a punter have his head knocked off his shoulders, and then since then it's been all downhill since then.
The GOAT. That was a Bills punter too.
Mm. Brian Mormon. I know, when you said RIP, I thought you were going to say Mormon. Oh. He's alive, barely, after that.
Yeah. Wasn't Snoop Huntley in the Pro Bowl about 3 years ago? That was a big blow.
Yeah.
When a backup quarterback who played three games made the Pro Bowl.
Pretty sure Mac Jones made the Pro Bowl, too.
I was
going to
say, Mac Jones was like his second string.
You had like 72 players say, no, I don't want to go.
Yeah, Mac Jones was Patrick Mahomes compared to Snoop Huntley, barely even playing when he was out there.
Okay. Peter, thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Appreciate that. We got a lot more to do, including voting opening now. Maggie and Perloff, King of the Mountain. We're trying to find, we will find, the greatest NFL team of all time, individual seasons. Today, the 98 Vikings up against the 72 Dolphins. So Randy Moss, Chris Carter, Randall Cunningham up against an undefeated 17-0 perfect season for the Dolphins.
I just noticed something about this, by the way. I'm actually very happy the Dolphins are here. You know why?
Why?
Dolphins have a second opportunity at a perfect season.
Right now.
Yep.
We started off with them, so now they could run the table, maybe.
That's a great question. Are they going to be able to run the table now against the greatest teams of all time?
Will they pop champagne after all this is done?
We can send a little down to the Dolphins.
Let's have them send us some.
Coming up, a little surprising that this was coming from Aaron Rodgers. Takes a lot to surprise us when it comes to that guy lately, but we'll tell you what it is next. Pearl, we wondered how Rodgers would fit in with his new team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, turns out swimmingly, he's the only captain on the offensive side of the ball. So it looks like he's definitely earned the respect of all of his teammates. Well, we knew that. He's a four-time MVP. Yeah. But
and the offense stinks.
Rodgers, named a captain. Here's the question we're asking when it comes to just week one here with Rodgers. It's kind of juicy that he's going back to MetLife Stadium to play the Jets where things just went so horribly sideways. But how much would a Steelers loss here kind of take the air out of the Rodgers season, the hype, all of that? Can they afford to lose this game?
Oh, no way. It would be devastating. Everyone in Pittsburgh would think, oh, no, we're getting the New York Jets version of Aaron Rodgers. And it will be an immediate and strong reaction.
Really? You think that the Steeler fans are just waiting to kind of go negative on Rodgers?
The New York Jets should be one of the bottom three teams in the league, according to all the Vegas odds. Like, this is one you cannot lose. It's on the East Coast. There's no travel excuse. This is, this one feels probably the biggest game of the year for them to date.
Really? You don't think there's any way they could... I see this totally opposite from you. I think that the first game of the season does not matter for Rodgers. Now, I can't speak for a Steeler fan and how disappointed you may be, but this is a Mike Tomlin team. You know you're going to be there at the end. Like, if there's any team that can avoid a slow start and you're convinced they're going to be okay, it's a Mike Tomlin team, no matter who's at the quarterback.
First of all, they're not a famous slow starter like the Bengals, so... I don't see it that way at all. But you didn't really catch my joke. This is the most important game to date with Rodgers.
To date?
Because I haven't played a game with Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the, sorry, yeah, that one went
the logic was, you got that right, EJ? Come on. I think that this is a big deal. No, I don't think there's going to be anybody's calm and going to look at the big picture. Especially if they lose to the Jets, Rodgers' former team, so there's a little extra weight to this matchup. I think this would be a... what's that meme of the dumpster that's on fire that goes floating down the river?
Yeah.
Like, this would be so bad to lose this game.
Oh, gosh. I'm total opposite. Total
I mean,
opposite
if they can't beat the Jets, I mean, no offense to your Jets, EJ, but who are they going to beat?
Okay, but to me...
Browns, and they have trouble with the Browns.
I know, but to me, like, first week one opponents, especially when you're working in a quarterback that got there a little bit late, like, it's still, to me, it could be an extended preseason.
I know that's a rational way to view it.
Yeah, and I know that Aaron Rodgers is going to, you know, he'll be calm. I think everyone would have a reason to feel calm. The big things are going to be their division games, obviously, because I think that division's going to be pretty tight outside of Cleveland. I don't think this is a big deal. And the fact about Rodgers playing against the Jets, yes, it's juicy. It's so fun to point and laugh at the New York Jets. It's so easy to do that. Mm-hmm. But talk about eras that are not going to be remembered. The Aaron Rodgers Jets era is going to be less than a footnote. Maybe not for EJ and people who are Jets fans, but as far as like history is concerned, no one's really going to remember that. So to me, it's not like, oh gosh, he's walking into this hostile environment. Like, it was barely anything.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I mean, it'll be exactly like Brett Favre with the Jets.
Yeah,
Brett Favre was probably a little more notable because there was scandal.
It was only one season. Favre, that was just embarrassing for all the off-the-field stuff with Jen Sturger.
Right, I think that's a little more memorable than the Rodgers-Jets thing. But I just think this one game, there's a lot of weight on this. Because there's some buzz and some hype around Pittsburgh. We saw when Mike Tomlin went on the Pat McAfee show, it felt like a Super Bowl parade. Maybe that's a bad idea by Steelers fans. I worry about the offensive coaching staff. Are they going to really know how to use Rodgers? Of course, you're right, rationally, Maggie. The big picture should matter. But this is a game, I mean, listen, we're doing our picks next. Like, the Steelers they have a thin margin in that division, Mag.
That's true. I'm a little nervous about this Cam Hayward thing. Like, the fact that he was upset about his contract, it did go into training camp. He was kind of holding in, then got back on the field. I don't know. It just feels like he's an older player, but he's actually pretty significant piece to the defense.
I think the defense is going to be good as long as T.J. Watt is healthy. It's what is that Arthur Smith attack? Is it, are we going to see run on first down, run on second down? And, you know, I don't care that the running backs, they're new and unstable. Like, I just do not see how this necessarily how this all comes together. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to hand the ball off 30 times in a row. He doesn't want to be a Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. I think he needs to throw the ball. You know, is DK enough of a weapon? Or were those young receivers like Roman Wilson? Are we going to see a bona fide passing attack? Yeah, I can't believe you're like thinking that this is going to be just okay.
I think it's going to be fine. I think it's like all Mike Tomlin seasons. Fine.
Do you guys see
since,
that?
You know, like 2012.
Am I way off base here? Like, yeah. EJ, what do you think?
Oh, if they lose this game, I think this is a big issue.
Mike T is the man.
I mean, I think that everyone kind of is chalking up Aaron Rodgers' failure with the Jets being more on the Jets and him just being there. If he loses here, it's going to be kind of like what Kyle Brandt said yesterday. It's going to be like, well, you went to the place that always wins and you still lost. Like, something's clearly wrong with you. And I think that would be a storyline throughout the season.
I know, but if the offense is going to be anemic, like if they don't want Rodgers throwing the ball very much, that's not Aaron Rodgers. Like then you're trying to do square peg round hole. Yeah.
You could make similar rationalizations.
Yeah,
but I don't think people will. I think people are going to overreact.
888-710-4ISN. All right, we don't see this eye to eye. How important is this first week for Aaron Rodgers? Matchup against the Jets, apparently very big deal. Maggie and Perloff Show, we do our Super Bowl picks next time.